Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. The service of the word is being led by myself, the Reverend Hannah Scoros. Joining me is the Reverend Keith Nethery. And our music this morning is being led by Duncan Sizeland, Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovison, Stacey Bass, Katie Clark, and Denise Pelly, along with our music director, Steve Hollowitz. And with us as ever is our sound engineer, John Gardy. I would invite you to calm your hearts and minds as you join us for worship this morning.
Like a fool for a scale, I was lifted up again. I was lifted up again by the
up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in the reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord. Thank you.
that in unity the face of Christ may be clear for all the world to see.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Sarcasm. Misdirection. Not things you think about when you listen to the scriptures or read the scriptures. That somebody might have an agenda? Well, today's passage is a perfect example of all this, and I think it's worth unpacking it all just to see the way that things come together and see some of the background workings in homilies. I know I have myself preached homilies in my life talking about the method outlined in this gospel passage as a way to bring people back into the fold, that if somebody within the church has sinned, that this is how we're supposed to deal with them, and this wonderful formula from Jesus. But I missed all the misdirection along the way. I missed so many things by not checking what the other gospels say about the same piece of scripture. I've missed so many things by not looking at the entirety of Scripture and holding it all in tension to understand who God is, who Jesus is. So let me run you through a few things that will help you look on this passage a little bit differently. And I'll take it from the bigger picture to a much tighter focus when we get near the end. We're at that point in the Gospels where Matthew and Luke have a lot of the same things, but put them in different places, in different ways, in different time frames. Now you might say, well, who cares? Well, if this is supposed to be a history, which it isn't, but which we have for a long time seemed to think that it was a chronological history of Jesus' ministry, then the reporting of these things have to be in the same path. And in this section, Matthew and Luke go different directions for different reasons, and it brings different meanings to some of the things that they're talking about. Mark doesn't have hardly any of this, and John, being a totally different kettle of fish, you can hardly compare it. But it means that Luke and Matthew had some kind of an agenda as to how they put their Gospels together. They worked from the same sources. They used Mark, they used what was called the Q source, and they each had things that were their own. And in fact, a good chunk of today's Gospel is exclusive to Matthew. So it's something that Matthew found somewhere else or wanted to say something about. We'll get to it in a little while. Because it's such an interesting misdirection in what is being said, it makes you wonder what Matthew was up to as he wrote this. But first, it's always phenomenally interesting to see how the package is built, how the house is built. We can't understand this small passage unless we look at some of the things around. So chapter 18 begins with the disciples saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, what a human thing to do, eh? We've just gone through the transfiguration and all that kind of stuff. And the disciples come up and say, "Hey, we want you to tell us that we're the best. But we know better than to come right out and say, we're pretty good, eh? So we're going to ask you this philosophical question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "A child." And if you don't become innocent like a child, you might never get into the kingdom of heaven. So hold that intention. The next thing is talking about putting stumbling blocks in front of people, in front of children, making it difficult for them to learn the gospel. And Jesus says, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. Huh? What? It makes you stop and think. What's Jesus saying? Then comes the parable of the lost sheep. 99 are fine, one is off, lost, and the shepherd goes to look for it. Now, logic would say, don't do that. You know, if you leave the 99, somebody's going to come along and say, "Hey, a whole pen of sheep, they're mine now." Or a wild animal is going to come along and say, "There's lunch." So you begin to see the way this is being structured, and I could go much deeper into those, so that's not the purpose of what we're doing right now. The way this is structured, you can see that Matthew is already setting up misdirection after misdirection after misdirection, so you don't want to take the next thing straightforward. You might want to broaden your scope and look at things in a different way. So we come now to today's passage. What do you do when somebody in the church sins? Now we like that, because if somebody else sins and we have a process that we can take them to account, what is everybody not doing? Looking at what I'm doing. It's always good to keep the focus on somebody else and be in charge. So we'll take a hold of this wonderful formula that Jesus gives us. So if the person that sins, take one or two others along to make sure that the evidence is confirmed. If they refuse to listen to that, then take it to the entire church. And if they still refuse, well, we probably would interpret this as kick them out, just like people that aren't part of the club. Let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Didn't we just read a story about the Canaanite woman? A Gentile? Who Jesus helped? Don't we have that story of Zacchaeus, who's a tax collector, and Jesus goes to his house and turns his life around? Oh, we didn't think that way, did we? So after we've gone through this lovely process with somebody that's done something that we think is wrong, so that we can self-righteously say, "You have to be out," Jesus is actually saying, "Wake up. even if they've sinned against you. Even if they've done something wrong, there might be a little undercurrent of, don't forget to look at what you've done wrong. But even if they've done something wrong against you, love them. Then we get into something that is truly mystifying. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Boy, am I ever somebody important? I can decide what gets bound and what gets loosed. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on anything and ask it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And then we get the kicker again. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. So the only way we can agree is to agree with Jesus. To agree with the thrust of the gospel. So while we see power in being able to say what's right and what's wrong, and we see control in being able to say, God, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing, the misdirection is Jesus is saying, I'm one of the two or three. You have to bring my gospel into play. You have to bring my admonition to love one another. So if we go on from there, and I may be messing up next week's homily, but that's all right. Hannah's preaching, so I don't have to worry about it. She'll have to go around what I say. Then we have Peter. Good old Peter. So, Jesus, if somebody sins against me, how often should I forgive them? Jesus uses the old number trick. Peter asks as many as 7 times, and Jesus says to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times, which is an infinite number. Again, we want to be in charge. We want to take note of other people's sins, and we want to know how we can have recompense and reconciliation with them. But we don't want to look at it the other way. And so Jesus tells Peter again, wake up, Peter. Listen, people, I've just told you in so many different ways. It's all misdirection. It's not about you. It's about God's people. All of God's people. And then it ends off with the parable of the unforgiving servant. Very quickly, a slave can't pay a debt. The master's going to put him away. He begs forgiveness. The master says, okay, not a problem. I'm a good man. I will allow you to not pay me. And then that person goes out and finds somebody that owes them money and demands the money and has them thrown in jail. And to complete the whole understanding of the misdirection, the owner finds out what the person he forgave did with that forgiveness and throws him back into jail. It's not about us. It's not about individuals. It's not about us getting what we need, what we desire. Not about us getting our revenge. Not about us being in control of those who we think have sinned against us. It's about loving one another. It's about understanding that we all sin against each other. In little ways and big ways. We all take pot shots at each other. We all put our own needs first and cause somebody else to go without. On the bigger scope, the bigger picture, the things that we are talking about, we have for how many 100 years had racism? A system that protects the white people. Have we tried to fix it? No. We just want what we want. Jesus says, it's about everyone. It's about a community. Same with our indigenous people. Same with our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. It's about us all. Yet, our society is built on me first, me first, me first. And it's so easy to read this gospel passage and hear, this is what you do when somebody sins against you. You have the power and control, and miss the misdirection, which is Jesus saying, you're not in charge. You're not in control. We're all in the same boat. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. That's the message. How long will it take us to listen? Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a
sanctuary, pure.
be a living sanctuary for you.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I would invite you now into a position of prayer. Every day is a day to be renewed, to become the people God created us to be. May we learn to recognize our true selves as we reflect on God's hope and intention for creation. God calls us to proclaim the gospel to all humanity. May we seek to be the presence of Christ in the world. God calls us to shelter, nurture, and cultivate spiritual communion among all God's children. May we be a safe place for everyone to question, to know, to struggle, and to grow. God calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. May we abandon entertainment for profound awareness. May we share our gifts and creativity in our expression. And may the table at which we gather always have room. God calls us to uphold the truth. May we faithfully struggle to understand truth so that instead of being chained and imprisoned to it, may we be joyfully and completely set free by it. God calls us to be advocates for social justice. May everything that seeks to undermine God's love make us uncomfortable and passionately active. God calls us to be a visible manifestation of God's vision of and hope for all creation. May we live as if we truly believe that, shining light in darkness and celebrating the joy of life that we share together. Amen. And as our Savior taught us, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Waves, but you were my anchor, you kept me safe.
Let us now go in peace, to love and to serve our God, our communities, our families, everyone we meet. Amen.